don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. What's up, crew? Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. I have got a really great quick read today. This one I wanted to hit the second it came out, but I already had a lot of stuff lined up. If you have not heard about it, this one was, this is a Medium article by Corey Fields, and he's a Bitcoin Core developer, and it's his detailing of disclosing a critical Bitcoin Cash bug that he discovered in their code. So we will hit the commentary afterward, and let's go ahead and jump in to Corey Fields' Responsible Disclosure in the Era of Cryptocurrencies. My experience disclosing a critical Bitcoin Cash vulnerability. On April 25th, 2018, I anonymously and privately disclosed a critical vulnerability in Bitcoin Cash, one of the world's most valuable cryptocurrencies, not to be confused with Bitcoin. A successful exploit of this vulnerability could have been so disruptive that transacting Bitcoin Cash safely would no longer be possible, completely undermining the utility and thus the value of the currency itself. Instead, the vulnerability was fixed without incident and publicly disclosed on May 7th of 2018. A quick clarification. Bitcoin Cash is a cryptocurrency that is distinct from and incompatible with Bitcoin. It is named as such because it is derived from Bitcoin. The now fixed bug described below only affected Bitcoin Cash. The only relation to Bitcoin is the similar name. As for me and my motivations, I work for the Digital Currency Initiative at the MIT Media Lab, which, as the name implies, is a group tasked with researching and developing cryptocurrencies. Specifically, I help develop and maintain Bitcoin Core, Bitcoin's primary software implementation. Because of that work, I'm often asked at conferences and workshops what I consider to be Bitcoin's greatest challenge in the future. My answer is always the same. Avoiding catastrophic software bugs. Working through this bug, which certainly had the potential for catastrophe, has reaffirmed my belief that the threat of software bugs is severely underestimated in the cryptocurrency world. I am presenting a detailed report of this incident, not as a slight against Bitcoin Cash, but as a real-world example of how much work is still required to reach the sophisticated level of engineering that cryptocurrencies require, and as a wake-up call to companies who have not adequately prepared for this type of scenario. SigHash bug. In short, a portion of the transaction signature verification code was rewritten, but the new code omitted a critical check of a specific bit in the signature type. I refer to that bit in the disclosure as SigHash bug. This omission would have allowed a specially crafted transaction to split the Bitcoin Cash blockchain into two incompatible chains. The next section describes the significance of such a split. For a detailed description of the bug and the fix, see the text of the disclosure itself. Link in the text. What makes chain-splitting bugs so different? Most cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, work by distributing a ledger of all transactions to all participants. In order to spend some coins, the spender must first create a transaction that obeys all of the rules of the system. Most of these rules are obvious and straightforward. For example, you can't spend more than you have. But others are much more subtle and technical, especially those which describe how digital signatures should be formatted. But if a cryptocurrency is permissionless, who sets these so-called validation rules? Everyone collectively sets the validation rules. The rules of the system are what everyone decides they are, and it is the software's job to enforce them. If one participant tries to cheat and create a transaction that spends money that he doesn't have, the other participant's software will simply reject that transaction. For this reason, to ensure that a transaction will be universally accepted, it must obey even the most pedantic of rules. The software tasked with enforcing the validation rules will always need to evolve. Changes are constantly being made to improve performance, add features, improve security, etc. It is critical, though, that the rules are enforced exactly the same way from one version to the next. So what happens when an accidental programming bug in a new version of the software causes a transaction to be considered valid when all previous versions of the software reject it as invalid? The result is a chain split, and it means that only the subset of participants who have upgraded their software will accept the transaction in question. And since transactions and blocks are chained together, the two subsets will disagree on every transaction that follows. Without quick action from developers in a campaign to align all participants on one side of the fork or the other, the two camps of participants will never again be able to agree. At that point, the currency has effectively been split into two incompatible currencies. Transacting as before will no longer be possible. Timing plays a crucial role when weighing the potential impact of bugs like these. If a chain is split such that 99% of participants are on one side with only 1% on the other, collectively siding with the majority is the obvious way forward. However, if roughly 50% have upgraded to the new version, there's no easy choice. That type of chain-splitting bug is what I discovered in a new version of Bitcoin Cash's most popular software implementation, but only after nearly half the network had upgraded to it. Discovery. Because it is free and open source software, Bitcoin Core is often used as a starting point for nascent cryptocurrencies. In addition to benefiting from years of refinement, sharing code means that otherwise unrelated cryptocurrencies can benefit from each other's improvements going forward. Bitcoin Cash's primary software implementation, called, again confusingly, Bitcoin ABC, is one of those based on Bitcoin Core. Due to the vast amount of common code, it is typical for these derivative projects to have similar bugs, and therefore similar bug fixes. But it's unrealistic to expect developers working on one currency to be proactive about sharing their improvements with developers working on others. Just keeping up with one project is a tough enough job. For that reason, I've acquired a habit of going through some of those projects' changes every few months to look for any bug fixes that might also be relevant to Bitcoin Core. While looking through Bitcoin ABC's change logs earlier this year, I noticed that one of the most critical pieces of transaction validation had been refactored. The changes jumped out at me immediately because they seemed so unnecessary. Curious about the reasoning behind them, I took a look at the public review the changes had undergone. There was no justification other than, quote, encapsulation. It had only two reviewers, and review only lasted a week before the code was accepted. Large refactors are very common and often good practice in typical software development, but it is extremely risky to modify validation code for cryptocurrencies due to the ever-looming threat of inadvertently introducing a chain-splitting bug. After seeing the minimal review the changes had undergone and the large number of lines changed, I thought it reasonably likely that a bug might have slipped in, and so I went looking. It took less than 10 minutes to find SIGHASH bug. Anonymous disclosure. I mentioned above that my disclosure was anonymous. I'd like to explain the reasoning for that, as anonymity played a significant role in the process. After verifying that the bug was trivially exploitable, I set out to notify the Bitcoin ABC developers, but quickly realized that I had a big problem. This was a bug in publicly available open source software. Any number of people could have already discovered it. There was nothing to stop anyone else from making the same discovery and taking advantage of it before a fix could be fully deployed. So how might that play out in the worst case scenario? Suppose that I privately disclose the bug using my name, only for someone else to find it independently and exploit it anonymously the next day. Because I use my name for the disclosure, hard proof would exist that I had the knowledge and means to attack the network. I would have no way to prove that I was not the attacker. Then consider that, collectively, billions of dollars could have been lost as a result of this exploit. People have been killed for much less. So not only was anonymity important, I considered it a necessity for my safety. While trying to figure out whether a completely anonymous disclosure was possible, I began to question whether it was worth the trouble at all. I had no obligation to report anything, after all, but if someone had discovered an equally nasty bug in Bitcoin Core, I would hope that person would bring it to our attention as discreetly and securely as possible. So I decided to do exactly that. Create the report I would want to read and deliver it as I would want to receive it. The first step was obvious. I needed to track down Bitcoin ABC's responsible disclosure policy. Policies for dealing with issues like these are commonplace these days and are a must-have for any security-critical project. Sadly, I could find no such policy on its website or in its code repository. The closest I could find was displayed when submitting a bug to their GitHub issues tracker. GitHub excerpt. This issue tracker is only for technical issues related to Bitcoin ABC. General Bitcoin questions and/or support requests are best directed to the Bitcoin Stack Exchange. For reporting security issues, please contact people privately. End excerpt. Ugh, no help there. I then began trying to locate published encryption keys for, quote, people known to be Bitcoin ABC developers. Encrypting a message to them would ensure that no one else could view it, and thus I could worry less about how to deliver the message. I wouldn't be able to actually verify the identities of the key holders, but such an approach would still be reasonably secure and much better than no encryption at all. But again, I hit a wall. There were no keys listed for any of the lead developers on the public PGP key servers where they would usually be found, and there were none present in their code repository either. At that point, I had no option other than to request keys anonymously through different online channels, using Tor to mask my identity as much as possible. I first created a throwaway GitHub account and pinged a few Bitcoin ABC developers there on April 25th. Begin excerpt. Responsible disclosure, attempting to contact a Bitcoin ABC developer. Throwaway account. Could you please comment here with a GPG pub key so that I may responsibly disclose a sensitive Bitcoin ABC vulnerability? @datalinks, @Chancel, @JasonBCox, @JoshuaYabut, other Bitcoin ABC developers. Sorry for the GitHub ping, I've found no better way to disclose to you anonymously. Chancel on April 25th. Begin PGP public key block. End excerpt. Thankfully, this worked. I received a key about 5 hours later and quickly used it to respond with an encrypted, detailed disclosure of the problem. When I came back the next day to check for a reply, however, GitHub had flagged my throwaway account, presumably due to my use of Tor, so further contact would not be possible there. I had to assume the disclosure was not received. Now armed with a key for encryption, I decided to try one last avenue and submitted an encrypted message to Bitcoin ABC's bug tracker, again using Tor and a throwaway account. 6 hours later, after receiving no response, I made one last plea on their bug tracker. Quote, ping, this is urgent, please acknowledge, end quote. On April 27th, after waiting roughly 48 hours for a response to the disclosure, a pull request was opened to covertly fix the issue in Bitcoin ABC. The message had apparently been received. Success. Takeaway. The Bitcoin Cash vulnerability that I discovered was successfully disclosed and mitigated, and ultimately had no noticeable impact on the cryptocurrency. It would be a shame, though, if the ecosystem did not benefit from analysis of such a substantial near miss. As cryptocurrency developers, it is necessary to take a step back now and then to reevaluate the tools at our disposal, as well as the policies and procedures that we put into place. We may not be able to eliminate the threat of bugs like these, but we can learn from them and be better prepared to handle them in the future. In an effort to kickstart a dialogue on reducing risk, this follow-up post suggests some best practices for now, as well as some active areas of research for the future. All right, that will close Corey Field's article on responsible disclosure in the era of cryptocurrencies. And the follow-up post that he links to is by Neha Narula, who is director of the Digital Currency Initiative at the MIT Media Lab. And it's titled Reducing the Risk of Catastrophic Cryptocurrency Bugs, and just kind of goes through like facilitating the disclosure itself. What are the processes, you know, have a clearly documented procedure for disclosure, including email address for reporting issues, providing encryption keys, and committing them to the code repository so that people can know, like can link it specifically to, the work on GitHub and the projects they're involved in, quickly responding to the reports, even from anonymous sources. Because, you know, as we saw in this one, Corey did not receive never received a response from any of them on any of the different avenues that he tried to contact. He just finally, the quote-unquote unofficial response was that they fixed the bug, making it known that they have obviously got the message. So she's got a lot of good stuff in her follow-up article. I just kind of skimmed it. I actually have not read the whole thing, but that's probably a really good one to hit if you want to dig into this topic a little bit more. I think this really brings to light something that has been a concern of mine for quite some time, that we see with Bitcoin Cash is not necessarily even just the quality of the developers that they do have, but just the lack of eyes looking at the code. The fact that there were only two reviewers, and I highlighted this in the actual article, that there were only two reviewers and quote-unquote review lasted a week before it was accepted and implemented and put on the mainnet live code. And this was a pretty significant change to actual validation software, like to actual validating code. Around signatures, which is not exactly a trivial piece of the validation puzzle there. It's important, again, that Corey Fields points out is that it doesn't even matter necessarily what the difference is, because even those, the most, as he says, pedantic, the most like seemingly arbitrary of rules, just specifications on where to look and, you know, what version bit, I mean, just one bit in the whole thing screwed it all up. And the crazy huge consequences that something like that could have. I mean, imagine if this was hit or found by somebody else who maybe they weren't even super inclined to contact them, but tried to the first rounds, you know, the first way Corey Fields did, and received no response, or they did not notice or look into it because GitHub locked the account or prevented it from because of the Tor access or the Tor use. Imagine if they had just given up and just been like, all right, you know, this is not worth the trouble. I have no obligation to do this anyway. Think about how much money that person could make by keeping that private. Imagine buying a 100x margin short on Bitcoin Cash before simply going on Tor and broadcasting the chain split transaction. How many people could you expect to turn that temptation down and instead anonymously and go out of their way to privately disclose this bug to the developers. The assumption in these cryptocurrencies, the fact that there is so much money riding on these things and there are futures markets and options being traded on these quote-unquote commodities, is any potential bug should be considered exploited by default. I think they got insanely lucky that Corey Fields was the one to have discovered this and did so in 10 minutes. The only reason that bug didn't get exploited was specifically because nobody cared to look for it. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. Like, this was a pretty, I mean, this is a serious bug and would have resulted in a huge, huge number of people either making or losing money, and could have profited a person in Corey's position to an unbelievable degree. And a serious, serious hats off to Corey Fields for going about it the way he did and for holding the perspective that he had. He looked at it, he put himself in that position and said, okay, what would I want to see? How would I want someone to disclose this? How would it need to be disclosed? Defending himself in the meantime is that, you know, Twitter is, or social media in general, is absolutely going to blame this crap on me if I publicly disclose this. Like, I think he went about it incredibly well and really, really calls to attention the entire process of being available as a cryptocurrency developer and having a very, very clear and accessible way to disclose bugs like this. And also calls into attention, like I said previously, how important it is for the cryptocurrency, the open source project itself, to have as many eyes as possible going over the code, and to be as absolutely conservative and as strict in their process and review and testing as can possibly be managed. This is and continues to be the number one reason why I think, or where I think, the Bitcoin Cash project is so misguided. And I see a lot of the same thing in Ethereum. It's just rush, rush, rush to get stuff out and not taking into account, or at least not weighing the consequences of a basic single bit out of order or not being properly checked mistake. I mean, think of the original SegWit 2x would have failed. The entire network would have been ground to a halt because of an off by one error, which we have covered in previous article and discussion on the podcast. It's just they just got the block height wrong, and it would have killed the network until everybody had figured out how to revert back and fix everything, because there was no testing and it was rushed in 2 weeks to get it out. It just, I don't know, this is just such a huge concern for me. I just, the fact that no hate on people who invest in Bitcoin Cash, but I gotta be honest about what the project is up to and, you know, what they're working on and their approach. I mean, I just don't agree with it. I think they have bad incentives and priorities and processes all the way around. Like, the whole project just is misaligned, in my opinion. So the big thing about all this with me specifically is I've been kind of waiting for something like this to happen. I've been expecting it to be an exploited bug that somebody finds and realizes the astronomical amount of money they can make off of it. And I just think they got so fucking lucky that Corey Fields was the one to find this, that he felt obligated to go out and inclined to check to make sure they didn't have any bugs and check their recent changes and see where they changed something that could have been really bad and investigate it and review code that he had no obligation or any reason to even care about, really, from a personal perspective. It wasn't a project that he works on. And then to not exploit it himself when he could have made a ton of money, and to responsibly disclose it in the face of not having any way to disclose it. I mean, he went out of his way to even figure out a way to make sure that he did it anonymously to protect himself, but also ensure that this wasn't a public disclosure, to get PGP keys that weren't even available, to reach out on multiple different forums and networks to make sure the message was received and follow up when he wasn't certain that it had reached its destination. So I just think they could not have had a more perfect storm of sheer luck to run into an exploit that serious in such a fortunate way. And that despite the fact that I doubt we will see it, I think the entire Bitcoin Cash community and developers owe an enormous thanks to Corey Fields for saving their asses. I would hope, I mean, I don't expect any change from Roger Ver on this, maybe just because he's so heavily invested in this moronic narrative that it will never die. That he'll let his reputation seep into a big pile of horse manure before he admits that he was wrong. But I hope at least for the people who invest in Bitcoin Cash or the people who do believe in the Bitcoin Cash project in a general sense can come to realize that the Bitcoin Core developers are not out to destroy them. And I think continuing to listen to Roger Ver, who insists that anybody who disagrees with him is literally evil or bought or corrupt, should deeply reconsider their perspective on this. I think Roger has been incredibly immature in this, and the fact that he hasn't said anything about this, I think we have seen Roger's character demonstrated many, many times, and I would put money on the fact that he would not do this same thing in return. So, you know, maybe I'm not giving him much credit, but honest to God, I don't see much reason that he deserves it. Anyway, we'll stop there. I don't need to go into this anymore. I think y'all get it. And this was just confirmation, continued confirmation of what I would expect to be the problems that Bitcoin Cash would run into, because of the political issues, the constant hard forking, and the rushed code, the lack of reviewers, the lack of conservatism and testing from the developers who are there, the firing of developers over political infighting. I really hope people are doing their research. Because I hate to see people get destroyed, and I hate to read those posts about people just losing everything they have. I've been there. I know what it's like to lose an incredible amount of money, and it hurts, it sucks, and I would not wish it on anybody, not even Roger Ver, and certainly not just for the self-righteous satisfaction of being able to say I'm right. Anyway, all right. We're done. Thank you, guys. don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Twitter. Check out Corey Fields on his Medium page. He does not really seem to have any kind of a social media presence, or at least that I can find. If anybody does know if Corey Fields is like on Twitter or something, I was not able to search him out. So if anybody has any other links to, you know, kind of his work or ways to get in touch with him or follow him on social media, that would be awesome if you could throw that in. I have not found any to speak of. But I will obviously link to his Medium page and the article in question, where he has a number of different links that you can go explore, dive a little bit deeper into this topic and the disclosure itself and the conversations on GitHub about it. And also, don't forget to follow me on, or excuse me, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and share it with all of your friends. You'll stay up to date on all the stuff that I'm doing. I've got a number of things that I think I'm seeing the end of the tunnel on. I've been working on way too much stuff at the same time, so having a hard time getting it all out. I'm spreading myself too thin. I do that far too often. So keep an ear out. We will have stuff, some new stuff in the works. And of course, we will always have our daily episodes discussing all the cool shit going on in the crypto economy. Don't forget to check me out on Mastodon. That's at the crypto economy on the bitcoinhackers.org instance. You don't have to sign up on that instance to find me. The federated servers all talk to each other, so you can search me from any one of them. But the easiest way to get to it and sign up while immediately following me is to use the link that I have in my Twitter page, which just takes you straight there to the sign-up page on Mastodon if you are not on it. It's an open-source Twitter alternative for those of you who are not aware, and there's a pretty big and growing Bitcoin community there right now. Lastly, if you would like to donate to the show, that would be an enormous help, and thank you so much for those of you who have. I will have my Bitcoin address available, or if you are waiting or have been trying to get your Trezor hardware wallet, and you would like to go ahead and do that, you can use my affiliate link. Don't forget to do that. In fact, if you are planning on buying a Trezor in the future, save my affiliate link as your link to the Trezor store. That way, any purchases that you make on the store, there will be no extra cost to you. You won't even see it, but it will send a couple of bucks my way to help out the show. So thank you guys so much, and I will catch you tomorrow with more discussion of the crypto economy. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.